Good morning. We feel, as always, well, let me say, my name is Brandon Martins, for those who don't know me. I am from Hayden, Alabama, originally from Louisiana, and currently I'm feeling very trembly before the Lord. Did not have expectation to be here this morning, and it's a precious place and a precious time, and we're trusting the Lord to have His way. So you pray for me. I have a burden this morning. I want to ask the Lord to help us together first before we get started. Dear Lord, pray that you'll take this time now, make it what you desire to be. We pray by your Spirit that you will speak your precious truth to us in a way that we can hear it, understand it, and receive it, God. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, the Lord caught me a little off guard this morning, but I appreciate him so much. I appreciate the kind of father he is to us. And I believe without going much further into the message that I can tell you part of the main burden that I feel like the Lord has given me this morning. In life, sometimes we can have maybe things that we desire. We look at this and we say, well, I want to accomplish that. I want to try to get to there. And we set out on those journeys, and there's so much that goes into it. And we have ups and downs, and we feel like there's just a struggle to get to where we're trying to get to in life. And I'm speaking of temporal things. Maybe there's just a path for you, for your education, to get to the job that you feel like God has got for you, and you feel like it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this difficult. There shouldn't be this many ups and downs. And maybe it's a path that you have just in your raising your family and goals that you have for your family, and you think sometimes it shouldn't be this hard. It should be able easier to get to. And this morning, the burden that the Lord has given me is concerning Him and who He is and His desire this morning, specifically with a reference to healing. I want you to know this morning that as real as we are all sitting here, the Father is sitting right here with us. And thank the Lord for that. But I want you to also know He didn't just show up. He didn't all of a sudden just show up right now in this time, because we decided this morning maybe we're going to set aside some time to give the Lord a certain amount of space in our life. The Lord has been here with us. And I believe it is good to set time aside for God specifically for specific reasons in our life and give acknowledgement to that. But this is what my burden is this morning, is for us to understand that there's not some big mountain to climb to try to get to God this morning. There's not some certain amount of words that you're going to have to say. You know, there's not some certain mountain of faith that you're going to have to accomplish somehow this morning on your own. The Lord is here, and He is waiting to hear. Do you believe in Him this morning? Do you believe that He's an ever-present help in the time of your trouble? Do you believe that He wants to hear you this morning? Or do you believe that there's a space between you and Him, and you're not really sure how you're going to get through that? You know, this morning, if you're dwelling in sin, there's a space between you and God. But if you're the Lord's child this morning, you know what He's done to that space? By the precious blood of Jesus, it's gone. There is no space between you and the Lord this morning. If you're His and you are living for Him and you love Him and you desire Him in your life, then the Lord, you know what? You don't have a clue how much He... Well, Lord, help me not to say it that way. God, let me back up for a minute. We can get so finite in our minds, or whatever the word may be. And we can feel like we're pursuing God, but He's not pursuing us. The Brother Henry read us some verses last night. He said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And I think of the prodigal son who came. Oh, he made a mess of things. But you know what? He came back, and when the father saw him coming, you know what? Did he run? Did the father run and hide from him? No. No. Wide open. Come on back, son. You caused some issues. You're going to miss out on some things, but here you are. You're back home. You're where you belong. And this is the burden that the Lord has given us this morning to share with us, that the Lord's not looking for you to climb some mountain this morning. He wants to hear you. He wants you to bring your petitions and your requests to Him. And He cannot wait. He cannot wait. You know, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I want to turn that around a little bit this morning, because Brother Henry talked about how last night, you know, when the Lord knocks at the door, we got to get up. We got to go get to that door. And how quick are we moving to it? How wide are we opening? Well, the Bible tells me, if we were to flip that around a little bit and say that God's waiting at the door this morning, are you going to bring your petitions to Him? If you come to Him this morning with your petitions, the Lord's not sitting back in His easy chair just seeing how long you're going to knock. Now, the Lord, don't misunderstand me. He's not ignoring you. He's not got his headphones in and not listening. He's not on his phone doing something that he's... Wait just a minute. I believe the Bible teaches us, and experience teaches us, that if we're bringing on with a heartfelt desire and belief and faith in God this morning, if we're bringing our petitions to Him, that He's waiting at that door to sling it open and to see and show us what He can do and what He desires for us. You know, it says in the scriptures here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 7th verse, we go down here. And it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. How amazing. Now, I think about these, and there's an element here of these vain repetitions that it was done for show. But you know, some of it was just, you remember how they jumped and leapt on the altar there when Elijah and the prophets of Baal were having that battle back and forth? They were trying to get some kind of answer. Guess what happened? No answer came because there wasn't a God on the other side of that could hear and do anything for them. It was hopeless. That truly was a hopeless situation. But what happened when Elijah just said, Lord, basically, show them who's God? It was completely, without a doubt, answered, beyond a shadow of doubt. And that's what I want us to get out of this verse this morning. Not just that there's an element here for show. God doesn't want that. But there's not a necessity. God doesn't need a bunch of words out of you this morning. He doesn't need you to know how to make it just perfect and just right and say the right things and ask the right question and get it just all right. He just needs you to come. All he really needed out of Elijah was to be willing to be on that mountain, Mount Carmel, right? That's all he needed out of Elijah, was to be willing to go up there and stand there and say, God, let them see who is truly the God of Israel. You know, this morning, that's all God needs out of you. Are you willing to bring your petition to Him? Now, Elijah didn't know exactly how God was going to answer. He knew there was a God, and he knew the Lord wanted him to do this. And that's all he really knew in that moment. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he had faith. He knew God. He knew if it was God's will to consume that altar, he could pour all the water in the world on that altar, and the Lord would consume it. Because there was no power that could stand before God. This morning, do you know that there's not a power that can stand before God? And it's not your explanation that makes that happen. It's because there is a God who's not sitting back in his easy chair with his earphones on, talking on his phone, and thinking whether or not he wants to answer you. But he's waiting to see if you will make your petition known to him. Now, I don't know what he's going to do. The Lord may have one path or he may have another for you, but he is here and he is waiting to see if you will be willing to bring your petition to him this morning and allow him to do what he sees needs to be done. That's what's going to happen. This morning, if you're willing to bring your petition to the Lord and make it known to him, there is one thing that is going to happen without a shadow of a doubt. Absolutely. The Lord will do what he sees he needs to do and wants to do in your life. And you know why he does that? Because he wants to bring you home to him. And he knows exactly what needs to happen to your life to do that. And there are some things that need to happen physically sometimes in our life. And sometimes it's a measure of suffering that God has to give grace for. But sometimes it's healing that God's got to say, are you willing to bring it to me? Are you willing to for me to have control of this situation? Are you willing to put it out there and say, Lord, I'm willing. Willing to live, willing to die. Willing to serve, willing to go. Whatever, Lord, have your way this morning and do what you see needs to be done. That's coming to the door. That's coming to the throne of God. When we come some other way, when we just want our own will or we just want something, then we start putting roadblocks up. And the Lord's like, I mean, did you come to knock on my door or not? Did you come to see what I would do or not? Or did you come to get what you wanted? This morning, when we come to the Lord, make your request known and trust him that he wants what is absolutely best in your life and he will work for that this morning. Matthew 20 and 29. Now we have a song that we sing the Lord just brought to my mind. And I want you to know, now I figure, some of you young ones, you may not have sung this song. But you know, I like to hear people sing the songs of God. But do you realize when you sing a song, you're speaking some words. And when you speak words, do you believe them? It says, I believe it's number 307 that says, he is just the same today. He healed in Galilee, set the palsied sinner free, and he's just the same today. What does that mean? That means that he has the same power that he's always had to work. That hasn't changed at all. That means he also has the same heart. He also has the same care and concern and desire to do for his children what he sees they need. Exactly whatever it is. As he walks through there, it says a great light shone. The Lord wasn't just doing something just to show his power off. He had a purpose. And this morning, he's not just here to show. His purpose sometimes is to show his power. Now, don't misunderstand me. But he's not just trying to make a show. That's not God's purpose. This is not a show this morning. That's not what this is about. This is about the Lord having this place where he can say, this is what I want to do for you. This is you, and not just us as a body, but yes, us as a body, but you and you and you. The Lord, how many people are here this morning? And the Lord's like, oh, this is wonderful. So many people here ready to bring their petitions to me, ready to make their petitions known to me this morning. I've got something I want to do for every one of them. I believe I can say that this morning because of what the Word teaches us and because of the experience I have with the Lord this morning. That is his heart for us this morning to do. And so here in Matthew, the 20th chapter, and the 29th verse, it says, they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the way. Now, blindness. This is something that just doesn't come and go. This is a serious illness. This is a serious affliction. This is something that man hadn't really seen fixed before in life. All right? And so there's two blind men sitting by the wayside, and most likely they're sitting there because this was their only option. They had to sit there, and maybe they begged, and people gave them alms or something for their provision in life, but what else could they do? Behold, two men were sitting by the wayside, and when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, oh, Lord, we have this and this condition, and it does this to us, and it has this kind of ramifications, and it's occurred because of this place and these kind of things, and this is what has happened. And in order to have anything, you got to do all this stuff and come up with all these words. They said, No, that's not what they said. Jesus passed by. They cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more. With a deeper explanation? No, with that same cry from their heart. Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. Christ, have mercy on us. And Jesus stood still. You know, this morning, there's a song, I don't even really know all the words. I just heard it, and it says, don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Don't stop pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. All right? This is the heart they had. No way. Because we believe. You know, this morning, if you believe, what would you stop asking for? Why would you stop asking? Lord, help our faith. Because these people had it. These two guys had it. Like, that's the man. He can do something about it. No, we've been here for how many years? I don't know. We've been blind. We've had this condition. But I believe that's the man can do something about this. Why would I be quiet? Why would I? Why would I let my lips be shut? Why would I let other people around me affect the ability I have to get to the one who could do something about my condition? And why would, even though he didn't stop the first time, did they get closer to him? It sounds like if anything, it would have been harder for Christ to hear them. Because not only are they that distance from Christ, so to speak, physically, but now the multitude is saying, be quiet, be quiet, don't say anything. Just whatever they were saying, trying to shush them up. They cried all the louder. And at that point, Christ stopped and said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And he said, they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. That's our desire, God. We know you can do it. We know you're able to. And it says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Not because they had some great explanation of what was going on in their life, but because they had a need. And they believed Jesus could do something about it, and they weren't willing to be quiet about it. Thank the Lord. Let's look here at another example. We'll go to Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark, the 9th chapter, and we'll go down to the 19th verse here. And the father had brought his son. This is a story I want to bring us back to that I'm sure most of us have heard. But it says his disciples could not take care of this situation. And he answered him and said, as answered the father, the father gave an explanation here. He said, whether so he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out. And they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And there's something here. You know what? Sometimes we bring something to the Lord, and he kind of says, well, what about this? You know what? He kind of points a finger at something in our life, and then do we tuck our head and kind of back away? Because God has said, you got something here. You got an issue. You got a problem. Besides what you're bringing to me, you got a little issue here. I love this father. Gives me so much hope. You know what, hope that Jesus has compassion with my infirmities, like it tells me he does, that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy to help. I've got that a little backwards there, but mercy and grace to help in a time of need. This gives me hope for that. But also gives me hope that I can humble myself and get what I need. He's got compassion, but I can have humility. I don't have to turn away when God points a finger at something in my life, as I come with a need and he points a finger at something else, I don't have to turn away. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to let the devil tell me what he tells you. See there, you're not going to get this answer. You know why? Because you got problems. You got issues. Lord's not going to answer you. You know what, devil? You're right. I got problems. I got issues. You know what I can do about it? I can humble myself and accept what the Lord is showing me in my life. Maybe that's why he afflicted me this way. Maybe that's why he gave me this problem. I'm going to tell you it's why he's given me some problems in my life. Because it's shown me that, Brandon, you've got some issues. You've got some problems. You need to humble yourself and let me do a work in your life, Brandon. And you know what the Lord's done when I've been willing to humble myself? He's proved that verse, I believe, out of Hebrews that I just quoted to you, that there's mercy, which I need, but I also need that grace. You know, grace is emblematic. It means power. It means the power of God shining into our hearts and bringing his reflection out. But to do that, I got to get out of the way. You know, that's what this father did. He got out of the way. He said, you know what? So they brought him. Let's read that on and see what happens here. They brought him unto him, this child unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came out unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Lord, I don't know what to tell you to do. Just anything at this point. Anything. Have you been there? Like, Lord, you don't even have to really heal me completely. But Lord, give me something. Something today. I've been there. There's times where that's what I'm coming to the Lord for. Lord, I'd love to have a complete healing. But Lord, if you just give me something. I need something. This is such a hopeless situation. I need to see you move in some way in this place right now. Lord, if there's anything you can do, please have compassion and do what you see best to do. Give me something here, Lord. And Jesus looked at him and said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, this is where Jesus kind of said, okay, there's a little bit of an issue here in you. What are you going to do? Here's where the wall stands. Hey, you want to take this wall down? That's what we can do right now in this moment. Jesus told him, we can take this wall down and you can get what you need. You imagine if the father would have said, and walked away. I mean, I can't imagine his own life, but his son, so many things affected by that moment where that father did this. He said, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. The Lord wants us to understand that he wasn't just speaking loudly. That he realized his shortcoming. That he realized his need. And with tears, as it says in one place, Peter went out with tears, I believe, much sorrow, weeping. I can't remember exactly how it says it there. With tears, he cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, you're exactly right. There's a need in me. There's a need in my heart. Lord, please help that not to stand between my child getting what he needs here. Lord, have mercy and help me in this situation. You know, this morning, you may come down and you may come for some kind of healing or something that you're wanting in your life, and the Lord very well may put a finger on something in your life. Don't turn. Why would you turn away? Just like we said, why would you not cry out to the Lord when he answers and says something like this? Why would you turn away? Who else could have told you that? Oh, we get ideas about each other sometimes, but only the Lord can speak right to the depths of the issue and not worry about maybe a million other things that might need to be taken care of at some point, but say, you know, this is it right now. That next step you're trying to take on this walk, this is what the issue is. Why would I turn away? There's so much waiting for me. If I'm just willing to humble myself and say, Lord, you're right. Lord, have mercy on that place in my life. Lord, help me to know what to do. Give me deliverance. Give me victory. Give me whatever else I need. But Lord, have mercy and help me. Yes, thank the Lord. I want to turn over to Matthew, the 14th chapter now. We'll go down to the 34th verse here. And this is after Peter had actually just walked on the water here, and when they were going over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know, we have another story in the Bible about this that I'd like to read together with this. And it's over in Mark, the 5th chapter. I want you to carry that with you, though. Maybe mark that spot. They besought him that he might only touch the hem of, they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. All right? Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark 5 and 25. And it says, well, 24th chapter. And Jesus went with this man and asked him to come and heal his daughter. And much people followed him and thronged him. So again, get the situation in our minds correctly. Okay? There's Jesus walking. And there's much people. Now, we're talking about a multitude. We're talking about a crowd, a huge crowd around Jesus. All right? And so, in this situation, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in to press behind and touch his garment. Now, I want us to get a hold of this lady here. You may have a situation in your life this morning that you have tried many things. You've done things that maybe make sense to try to fix this situation in your life. And you know what? This can be physical. A lot of times our minds go there and everything. But this could be spiritual. This could be emotional. This could have been many kinds of conditions right here that this woman had tried, had spent all her money. And you may have tried some things that make sense to fix that. You might have tried some things that, well, sometimes it worked. And you might have tried some things that made no sense at all. And you may have squandered a lot of time on those things. And this morning, the Lord's impressed your heart, why did I do all of that? This is where I should have been all along. You know, I want you to notice how he treats this woman. And, there's a side message here to all of us. To be careful that we behave the same way that Jesus does in this situation. All right? So let's see what happened and how he treated her. So it said, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And I just think how the people that were crying out, but she was determined, there's a throng here. You're going to try to press through all these people and get to him. How can you even tell quite where he is? You could miss him by 3 or 4 people and not know that you just barely missed him. But she's like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get to him. And this may not be the easiest way, but this is the way that I've come up with to try to get to Jesus, so to speak, right now. This is the way that I see that I'm able to get to him somehow. And so she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. And before she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out to him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said unto him, you see the multitude here. I mean, probably a bunch of people. There was one person who got what they needed. Because they came with a need. And they came believing, this is the one that can do it. If I can just get there, I may get pushed around, I may get, who knows what may happen to me, but if I make it and I get a hold of his garment, then I believe he can make me whole. You know, this morning, if you're sitting in this situation, you may have some of these kind of feelings. Lord, help us. It's not, Lord, help us. You know, if if we love like Jesus loved, then you're not going to have this issue. But maybe some other places and some other times, and maybe just because of the way maybe you've squandered some things when you should have come to Christ right off with this need that you have. Maybe for some reason you feel like you may get beat up, you may get pushed around. Why would you not try? This is the man that can do whatever needs to be done in your life this morning. If you get pushed around a little bit, Lord help us. If you've been pushed around, or even if that was to happen, if the Lord's waiting for you, why would you not come? This is the man that can do whatever needs to be done in your life. There is not a sickness. There is not a disease, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, that he cannot heal. This morning, why would you not come? And you know what? I believe that lady had some help. I've just got to tell you, I don't believe she could have made it through that throng. You remember the times where the throng came around Jesus and they were going to take him and they were going to kill him, and all of a sudden they were looking at each other going, where'd he go? He had a thing with crowds. I believe he knew she was coming all along, and he made a path. And you know what? The Lord will make a path for you this morning if you're willing to come and touch the hem of his garment. And so she came, and he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. I want to read us one more verse here. It's over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter and the sixth verse says, be careful for nothing. Let me just, and I feel like this is what the Lord has tried to do this morning. Because we sit in our seat sometimes. We're like, well, maybe I should go, maybe I shouldn't. It's Jesus, y'all. Nobody's going to kick you out the door. And we're his children. Nobody's going to push you back. You come. Come on down. See what the Lord would do for you. See what his will is. Be careful for nothing. Oh, but it's, you know what, it's just a little splinter that's been in my finger. Well, the Lord, come on down. Let's pray for it. There's nothing that the Lord, there's not a point where God's like really doesn't care about that in your life. He cares about you completely in every single way. There's nothing that the Lord can't do, and there's nothing he doesn't care about. His love is, oh, how's that song go? His love is an endless love, and it reaches down to you and me. His love is a boundless love that will last through all eternity. Wow! I mean, I don't know what else to say this morning. Maybe someone say hallelujah or praise God. I don't know what to say, but Lord, help us to get a hold of how this God had Jesus in heaven with him. And he looked at us down here. And he had Jesus and he said, they're going to be lost. They're going to die. They're going to go to hell. Jesus, all I can do is let you go. And let them beat up on you and hurt you and beat you and put you on a cross and mock you. And you're going to have to be quiet. And I'm going to have to let you do this. There's no other way. If I hold on to you, I can't hold on to them. I've got to let you go. This is who did this for you. You really think he doesn't care about what's going on in your life? You really think there's a reason for you to sit on that pew and not come down and bring to him your need, whatever it may be? Be careful in nothing. You've got a wide open door. You got a Father that's waiting there. It's waiting for you to come and say, Lord, I've got this need in my life. Whatever it is, emotional, spiritual, or physical this morning. I've got this need in my life. Oh, it's so little. Or I know, Lord, I should have fixed this. Oh, man, how many times have I felt that way? Lord, I can't blame this on anybody but me. I'm just going to tell you, Lord, right off the bat, it's my fault completely. And the devil say, see there, so he's not going to help you. You should have done something about this yourself. And before you go down there, you need to do something. This is where you need to do something about it. Before the Lord. That's what this altar is. It's not some place that's got some kind of magical power or something. That's not it at all. That's not what it's about this morning. It's not a show. It's a place together as a body of Christ that we've set aside some time to give space for the Lord to do a work that he desires to do. Don't be careful. Don't sit there and let the devil talk you into just sitting there. Come on down and get what you need. Let's pray together. All right? And it says, be careful in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. May the Lord bless us.